Well, Barbara, I believe we better pray. When we talk about wolves in sheep's clothing, not everybody understands that, and it's a very serious situation in the body of Christ.
It is.
Would you agree?
Yes. Yes, I would.
All right. Well, let's pray. Father, I thank you that we can rightly divide the word of truth because Holy Spirit is with us, inspiring us to teach. And Lord, we are concerned that we don't get gobbled up by false teaching, by wolves that come after us with all kinds of deceptive practices. So we thank you today that the eyes of our heart are enlightened and the Holy Spirit will help us understand truth. In Jesus' powerful name, amen.
This is one subject we don't care to really teach about, but I believe that people need to be aware. And even in the New Testament, it says that we need to be as innocent as doves, yes, but as shrewd or as aware as serpents, because there are men and women out there that are ready to deceive us in any way they can. And they even say that they are Christians. They label themselves as Christians. I know one man who had to go to court. He said these people that took him to court called themselves Christians, but he saw no similarity between the Christian mentioned in the Bible and these so-called Christians that had taken him to court. So we see a lot of deception out there.
Now, one of the things that I'd like to point out to our listeners and our friends, Barbara, when we teach this, there are some people that don't know that they're deceived. They don't know, and they're hard. I mean, because they're hard to really to know that they really are deceptive because they believe they're telling the truth.
Yes.
Now,
right.
There's another kind that obviously know, and they're just all out flat out con artists. And so we have to be wise, and that's one reason why I so much appreciate the ministry of Holy Spirit. He can teach us inside and say, watch it, wait a minute. Be cautious here. Don't just buy into everything this person or this ministry is saying because they're off the chart here. Mm-hmm. They're not speaking the truth. Mm-hmm. And they have really a twisted, perverted way of looking at Scripture. So we hope that this teaching, which we really don't look forward to giving because we're not the kind of ministry that's running around and say, that guy's off, that person's off. That's not our basic calling. But we know some of you have been deceived because you've told us about it in your letters. We've seen the results of some people's counsel given to you, and it's hurt you in a great way. We don't want that to happen, and that's one reason we're doing this teaching.
That's right. Darren, there's a beautiful chapter in the book of Psalms, and it absolutely describes the perfect shepherd. And that's Psalm 23, the psalm that David wrote while he was running from Saul. And in this chapter, it describes a perfect shepherd. And in fact, I heard a teaching a long time ago that every characteristic of God, who he is, from Jehovah Raha, from Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Jireh, and Jehovah Shalom are all mentioned in this one psalm, because this psalm covers the great shepherd of all, and that's our Lord Jesus. And it begins with, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And we see in some of these counterfeit shepherds that they are actually fleecing the flock so much that the sheep are found wanting. They are left without any regard to being taken care of as far as clothing and food and the essentials, and especially they are not taken care of in the spiritual realm and in the churches. So as we look at Psalm 23, we want to praise God that he is the great example for us as a shepherd of the sheep. And now we're going to get into like the Jeremiah 23s, where it says, "Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering my in my pasture." So I just want to make you aware who are listening that to go to an ideal of who a shepherd truly is Psalm 23. That's the best ideal you will ever have.
Now that's one reason I believe you need to have the ministry of the Holy Spirit alive and active in your life. Because you can have the discerning of spirits and you'll know more accurately rather than trying to get it in your reason or in your mind to sort some of these things. Because, boy, I tell you, they come at you from all kinds of angles. Mm-hmm. They come at you with financial deals. They come at you with all kinds of weird theology and so on. You need to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit to really be able to discern when the wolves are really after you.
Yes.
Well, we pick this up in Jeremiah 23, verse 1 through 7, but it says, "Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. You have scattered my flock, driven them away, and have not attended to them Behold, I am about to attend to you for the evil of your deeds.
Well, God is the great judge of all, and he will finally bring judgment to those who are coming against the precious sheep, Darren. And how can you tell a false shepherd? Well, there are 4 points within Jeremiah 23, and number one is false shepherds scatter the flock. They have no conscience, really, as far as keeping that flock together, keeping them safe from wolves and from predators that come on the flock. Their intent is not to keep their flock safe or healthy. Their intent is for their own good. So here we see false shepherds scatter the flock. Number two, they do not care for the sheep or the sheep's needs at all. They don't care for the individual. Like David said in Psalm 23, I don't have any wants. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, a hireling or a false shepherd is one who doesn't really care what happens to the flock.
Well, I think the next point is that false shepherds are greedy and selfish. And Barbara, I've been raised in a church, and I mean, my dad was a pastor, and I went to church before I was born.
You did, didn't you?
But I have seen some things that are so grievous in the practice of people that call themselves pastors, and they really weren't pastors. They were hirelings, and we'll get to that in a minute. But they lacked understanding to guide and feed the flock, and the reason they did that is they had a consent of ignorance about the Word. Mm-hmm. And many times, these people filling the pulpit, filling a pastoral duty, really haven't been called, anointed, and consecrated by the Lord God. They're filling a position because of the benefits given to them by the church. Well, then they're pastoring just straight out for personal gain.
That's right.
They're selfish, and they're doing it all for themselves and not for the sheep or not for the flock.
That's right. I'd like to bring up Isaiah 56, 10 and 11, Darren, where they are blind guides. And in verse 11 of Isaiah 56, they are dogs, greedy and never satisfied. They are shepherds who have no understanding. They have all turned to their own way. Each one to his unjust gain, to the last one. They say, come, let us drink, let us eat, let us be merry. And these are shepherds. And I have nothing against eating or drinking, Darren, but shepherds, when you are given the assignment, when you're giving the calling of a shepherd over a flock of sheep, over a congregation, your first priority is to make sure that your sheep are taken care of before you go and eat and drink and be merry.
Well, let me say this, Barbara. I think many of them basically are what you'd call a facilitator, and they're facilitating programs.
Yes.
And it's program that keep the people real busy, but the power of the Word is not there. People are not getting healed. They're not getting saved. Wickedness in the congregation is not being pointed out.
Yes.
And now I would call that a hireling. He said, well, I got a good job. If I keep the people happy and I keep them busy and they think they're just doing great things, hey, wait a minute. We need, as shepherds of the flock and teachers of the Word, we need to make sure that our flock is getting the truth without some kind of flavoring in there that isn't right for them. Mm-hmm. We've got to make sure. And sometimes, you know, people don't like being held to accountability. Well,
that's
now,
right.
If you want to wimp out on that, then I think you're going to become a hireling. You can run your program, and people are going to hell on a regular basis, and you don't know and you don't care. That's what we're talking about here, wolves in sheep's clothing.
And Jesus brings a perfect example of that hireling, Darren, when he speaks about in the 10th chapter of John. And he talks about him being the good shepherd. He actually comes out and says, I am the good shepherd. And that's wonderful to know. Okay, Jesus, now we've got a standard here of measurement. You're our good shepherd, and we'll just measure everything else by you. Oh, praise God. It'll be so nice when we can see Jesus actually face to face one of these days. But he says, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, and he climbs up some other way, he is a thief or a robber. And he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. It says here over and over again, the sheep know the voice of the shepherd, and the shepherd knows his sheep. Well, Darren, we see a hireling, and it says in the 12th verse, he is a hireling and not a shepherd, who is not the caretaker of the sheep, and he beholds the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches the sheep and eats them and scatters them.
Well, you know, a hireling says, man, I'm not going to risk my neck. I mean, it's just a job to me. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't care about these sheep before I got here, and I certainly don't care about them now, and I certainly won't care about them when I leave.
That's so good, Darren, when you said it is a job. To a hireling, the pastoral responsibility, or the pastoring, or a the leader of a congregation in some of these churches, it is just a job. And we cannot,
Well, I would say this, Barbara. I've seen some that didn't even like people. They couldn't stand people, and they were filling a pastoral position.
How can they do that?
Well, it's because they're a hireling. They're saying, well, you know, the benefits aren't too bad. If I show up on Wednesday night and I have a little lesson, entertaining, of course, and then I do a Sunday thing out of the Reader's Digest and tell a few entertaining stories and give some wonderful examples, and I make sure I'm at the back of the church to shake hands and hug the people. Well, now, wait a minute. What is this? Mm-hmm. The people, that's not why we go to church. We got to wake up and say, now, why am I here? And is this person really leading me to the truth of the gospel? Are they willing to even bring a convicting message to me if I need that? Mm-hmm. Well, a hireling doesn't care. See, a hireling really doesn't care. The people in
That's right.
And give me my paycheck and business as usual.
Well, have you ever seen a shepherd out in a pasture taking care of sheep? He has a little house. It's a little tiny trailer. He actually lives out there with the sheep because
Night and day, seven days a week.
That's right. Sheep are stupid. And sheep do some real stupid things. And like, for instance, if they fall into a ditch and they wind up with their feet up in the air, they can't even get back up. I mean, they are goners unless that shepherd goes out there and looks for his sheep. And if he can't find the one, he goes looking for it and finds it in the ditch and gets it upright so the little sheep can join the flock.
Is they roll over.
Yeah.
They roll over. Maybe they want to get some dust on their fur or whatever. I know some animals do that. But if they're next to a ditch, just a small irrigation ditch, and they roll over, like you say, and their feet are sticking straight up in the air, arms to reach out and help them.
I know.
I mean, they are done for. If that shepherd doesn't come along and get them out of there, they're going to die.
That's right. And then at night, they bring the sheep into a guarded place, usually a little fold with stones around it or fences. And I have heard in different lessons that the actual shepherd sleeps there in that gateway so that no predators, no wolves, no coyotes can come along and sneak into his fold. He is actually there with the sheep 24 hours a day.
In the doorway.
Yes.
Now, the ones I've seen here in northern Colorado is they bring them in at night and they circle them with a fence.
Yes.
They bring them into the fence, but the sheep herders around here anyway have a dog. Dog has intense hearing. And so if a coyote or a wolf, I don't think we have too many wolves in this area, but if a coyote comes, mm-hmm. that seems to be the biggest predator that wants to take the sheep.
Yes.
I mean, that dog is going to hear them. Well, that dog and that shepherd operate together as a team because they really love the sheep, and they want to protect the sheep, and that's not just a job, but it's in their heart. Mm-hmm. It's in their heart.
Oh, praise God. Well, we've talked a little bit about hirelings, and let's talk more. We're going to go back to Jeremiah 23 and see what the Lord is going to do. The Lord himself will gather together the remnant. And some of you are part of a huge piece of material, and through some strife or division or problem, you felt like you have been torn away from that main cloth. You've been torn away from the main body of Jesus Christ, and you're alone there. You feel alone. You feel deserted. You feel desolate. And that's what the Lord is talking about here. He's talking about you. He's talking about that piece of cloth that has been torn away from the main garment, and he wants to gather you back together to a peaceful pasture. He wants you to be fruitful and multiply. And it says the Lord himself will raise up godly shepherds, Darren, plural. Now, we know Jesus is the great shepherd, but God is going to raise up shepherds, plural, hallelujah. And not just one or two shepherds, but many shepherds who are godly, who are concerned about the sheep. And the sheep will no longer fear, and there won't be any missing. Praise God.
And you know, a lot of times we think, well, the devil ripped that person away. Well, in some cases, the devil used a pastor to rip the person out of the remnant. I mean, he took them away from the flock and isolated them. And some of you feel very isolated. And Barbara and I have talked to many of you who no longer are part of a body, any place. You don't have fellowship because you're isolated. You are indeed a part of that remnant. You've been ripped away from the main part of the cloth.
Mm-hmm.
And our message to you is God still loves you. You are still usable. He has a plan for your life. He has a ministry for you. And if you turn around and come to him, he will put you in the right place, and we believe with the right shepherd, not with a hireling again.
That's right.
Praise God. It's good news. God has a great plan for you.
Oh, I just have to go for a moment and redirect thoughts here to Jeremiah 18. And this is about a potter, and he sees a cup or a vessel that is spoiled. It's no longer of good use. Now, he is a kind of a shepherd in a way. And this is what a pastor of a church needs to observe too. Where do my people fit in? Where are they going to be best used in this ministry? And here in Jeremiah 18, verse 2, he's telling Jeremiah, God is telling Jeremiah, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I shall announce my words to you. And then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something on the wheel, but the vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter, so he remade it into another vessel as it pleased the potter to make. And this is some of you. You have been spoiled, but this, Darren, when the words that you said reminded me of this chapter. There are some of our friends who have been spoiled in congregations. They have been messed up big time, and God is going to remake them. He's going to take that vessel, and he's going to make it into a wonderful pitcher or a great bowl or something that he can use for his kingdom.
Now, spoiled, you don't mean like they have been coddled.
No, but they've been cracked.
That, right.
Yes, okay. Cracked or messed up or broken.
I would say they've been compromised,
yes,
or defiled,
yes,
or made so that they're not so usable.
That's right.
And they know that.
Yes.
And it's a grievous thing to a person that really has a heart to minister to have been put on the shelf, in some cases to have been shunned and put away, in other cases to be denied an opportunity really for that gifting that's within them,
yes,
to be a part and a contributing part of the body of Christ. And many of them have been so hurt that, as I say, they have been isolated by a pastor, or I'm going to say like a hireling, or maybe by somebody in church administration, and they're just out there by themselves. And I'll tell you, that's a dangerous place to be.
Yes.
God has a place for you, and we're believing in this message you're going to find some healing and some restoration, and you're going to be able to forgive those people that have hurt you.
Yes.
And in fact,
before we get
out of here today, I'm going to lead you through a prayer of forgiveness for those pastors and those priests and those people in church administration that have just shredded you.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to forgive them and release them so God can again bring you as a healed part of the remnant back into the body.
Praise God.
And he's going to do that. And
that
is
so
good.
Oh, that is so good, Darren. It's like the potter. He didn't throw out the old pot that was cracked and messed up. He remade it. He remolded it again. And that's what God wants to do in your life. Oh, that is so good.
And we're talking here about restoration.
Yes.
And it has to start in your heart, folks. It's got to start in your heart. Now, I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit is all over me when I'm talking to you. He has a way of healing you, taking away the bruises and the brokenness in you, and the disappointments and the grief and the anger and the unforgiveness and all that stuff that's come because you've been ripped out. You're a part of that remnant that's been isolated. God has a great message for you, and I want to tell you something. He loves you, and he has a place for you.
Praise the Lord. Well, it says in Jeremiah 23:6, behold, the days are coming when I shall raise up for David a righteous branch. And this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. And we know that's Jehovah Tsidkenu. And we see that Jesus is going to be our righteous branch, raised up to be the shepherd of the flock, the shepherd of the sheep, and the example for everyone.
You know, I think it's so interesting, Barbara, when you look in Jeremiah, that he says, God is even saying this about himself. He says, as for the prophets, my heart is broken within me. Now, I know in the New Testament we talk about the Holy Spirit being grieved, but here God is saying, I actually have a broken heart because of what's happened to the sheep. And he goes on to say, because the land is full of adulterers.
Yes.
Talk to me about that.
Yes, adulterers. So many times we think of adultery in a sexual, physical way. And this adultery is 5003. It means apostasy, and that's the falling away. And we're going to see that Paul warned in 2 Thessalonians, Darren, right before Jesus comes, there's going to be a great apostasy. The church is going to fall away. People that have been spiritual are going to be lukewarm, and they're going to not be effective anymore.
Right. Now, just a minute. That number you gave there, Barbara, is the Hebrew rendering found in the Strong's Concordance.
Yes.
5003.
And that means someone who has been betrothed, as in a marriage, they have broken the covenant. And we see here that God is crying because the pastors, Darren, the shepherds, have broken the covenant. Not the people, it's the shepherds. And you and I have experienced this in our own lives many times, that the shepherds have gone and stripped the sheep, and they have been selfish and greedy.
And sometimes we've been the objects of that, attack. And we have had to walk in forgiveness, folks, just to keep the victory and keep your head on straight and your heart right.
Yes. Well, when a covenant is broken, Darren, a curse is the result of anything that is broken. A covenant is broken. If you have broken the covenant of God with sinning, if you have been unfaithful in your dealings with the Lord Jesus, and he's told you to do something and you have been disobedient about it, the very natural spiritual result is a curse has come over you. No. And Darren and I have talked to you about curses.
Amen.
A lot.
I would say it this way. When I was a little kid, I was about 7 years old, I was using a butcher knife to chop on a board. Well, I almost cut this finger off. Well, Mom patched this finger up here, and she kept the infection, the bacteria, and all that stuff out of there. Mm-hmm. Now, that's what happens in a physical sense when there's an injury, when there's a wound, a bacteria, a defilement enters in there, and it really brings death if you don't take care of it. That's what happens in a spiritual sense. When you get wounded in one of these deals, you get spiritually wounded, the devil plants a curse in your life.
That's right.
And he wants to move in big time. And if that's not taken care of, he'll bring some others right along with it.
That's right. And some of the things that you can look for in your life, if there is a curse on your life because there has been unforgiveness or there has been a breach, there has been hatred sown because you have been hurt by a pastor or a shepherd. And as a result, Darren, some people have isolated themselves and a root of bitterness has grown up. Well, if this is happening in your house, finances are drying up, evil or mishaps at every turn, every time you turn around, something is happening. There's an accident or mishaps in your life, or there's a loss of strength or vitality in your physical as well as your emotional being. If your ways are unsteady and unstable and you cannot make wise decisions, you're double-minded, these are all characteristics of a curse that can come upon a person.
If you lose a certain amount of strength, you're weak-kneed. What you want to do is collapse and fall down on the ground and curl up in a ball.
Yeah.
And sometimes that happens to us spiritually. Sometimes it happens to us physically. But that's kind of what happens when that curse comes on your life. And folks, I want to tell you, some of you, that curse came up the family tree. And that curse has been in the family. And you say, how in the world did it get in here? It doesn't matter how it got into your family. What matters is deal with it. In the name of Jesus, command that curse broken and out of your life. And if there's repentance needed on your part, for goodness sakes, do that.
Oh, yes. Go to 1 John 1:9.
Amen.
And so many times, Darren, we have the opportunity to be unforgiving. People do things to us. And especially when you get into a church situation, there are sometimes the pastor, because there are so many people involved, he may forget about you. He may, you may suggest something and he may just slough it off and you get hurt. You get offended by what's going on. Well, make sure you are forgiving. Make sure
right.
that in every instance you're forgiving.
Now, if you don't do that, you get hardness of heart.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, that's a very serious spot to be in. And if you allow hardness of heart to come in, then you become cynical. And here's an answer.
Yes,
Jeremiah 23:29. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer which shatters a rock? Now, if your heart has been hardened, you need to let the hammer of the word, let me say it that way, and it is a godly thing to say, all right, Lord, here I've become stiff-necked, I've become hardened of heart, and I don't like that because it closes down my ability to really walk with you, talk with you, and have that great relationship that I once had.
Mm-hmm.
Please soften my heart with the word.
Oh, praise God.
And God will do that.
Oh, he will. There's an example then in Ezekiel 34. Oh, this is so good, Darren, because his word is going to shatter every sin, every curse. If we are willing, if we give ourselves up like that vessel in the potter's house and say, Father, you do with me as you will. Oh, there's just nothing but good ahead for you. Now, in Ezekiel 34:1, Ezekiel talks a little bit more about the false shepherds. They eat the meat and clothe themselves with the sheep's wool. They slaughter the fat ones without feeding the flock. And we see an example of King David in 2 Samuel, where God says, David, you are going to shepherd my people, and you will be a ruler over them. Well, shepherds, pastors of churches, are rulers and caretakers over the people today. They are taking care of the people. They are making sure that their flock is taken care of. In Chronicles 16:3, David was such a good example of a great shepherd, Darren, because every time they had a feast, he let his people go after the feast with a piece of meat, a piece of bread, and a dessert. Can you believe that? He was a great shepherd.
If I were doing a commentary, I'd say he sent the people home with a good taste in their mouth.
He did. And plus dessert. It says raisin cakes. And in those days, raisin cakes would probably be a wonderful dessert. A little whipped cream on there. But those who are sickly, you have not strengthened. The diseased, you have not healed. Ezekiel is warning these pastors and shepherds and saying, the broken you have not bound up. The scattered you have not brought back. Or have you sought the lost? The lost ones, you have dominated the sheep. Now, what does the Lord say about the shepherd? And what does he say about Jesus coming? He says he's going to
heal the brokenhearted.
Oh, yes.
In Luke 4:18, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And that's today.
Oh,
that's
yes,
current.
Yes.
Now, I believe Jesus is saying, yes, I know you have been offended. I know that your rights have been violated and your feelings have been wounded and your situation has been disturbed and your gifts and talents have not been used. But I am here. This is a favorable year of the Lord. I'm going to see you get healed because I'm the shepherd.
Yes.
I'm going to bind up your brokenness and I'm going to soothe those feelings. And you don't have to have a broken heart anymore. I believe that's what Luke 4:18 is saying.
That's right.
And for you that have been spiritually blinded by a shepherd or by a priest, you've been really hurt. So, you've been really clobbered. I, Jesus, am here today. In fact, you stood up in the temple. I wish I'd have been there to see the looks on the church people.
Oh, I do too.
When he said, this day, this prophecy is fulfilled in your hearing.
Yes.
The man is here. I'm the man.
Yes.
Here's the answer is here, and it's called me.
Yes.
You know, and I believe many times we need to look for that Jesus and say, all right, Jesus, I did get clobbered. I did get hurt. I need your help. Show me what to do, and I will allow you to heal my heart. I will allow your word to take over and soothe the brokenness inside of me. And sometimes our pride wants to keep us from saying, yeah, I really got busted.
Yes.
I got hurt. I got shunned. I got put away. I got isolated. I got put out.
Yes.
And I am hurting.
That's right. One reason why God gave this great prophetic word to Isaiah in Isaiah 61:1, and then Jesus prophesied in Luke 4:18, was that we are also supposed to preach the gospel to the poor, proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, set free those who are downtrodden, and proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, Darren. And it's important, we always must remember that God desires that everyone be saved, everyone be delivered out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and come to the knowledge of the truth. That is God's priority here in the kingdom, here on earth. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's why he wants us to find the little sheep lost out there, ready to go off the ledge. He wants us to pick them up and bring them back to the fold.
You know, and one of the kindest things I think we can say to a brother or sister in the body of Christ, and let's assume that you're not a pastor or a teacher or in church administration, you may need to come next to somebody and say, you know, you've really been hurt. Mm-hmm. I know you've been hurt. You know you've been hurt. You've been shattered. You've been shunned, and you haven't been used.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to forgive that person that hurt you. that yes. priest or that pastor, that Sunday school teacher, or, you know, someone in church management, administration, you need to forgive them and release yes. them so God can use you again because he has a place for you.
Oh, that's right.
And I think that's one of the most honoring things we can do to a fellow Christian, to say, yes, I know you got hurt. Yes, I know you've been shunned, but I want you back here with us. And my prayer is that you will be able to forgive, and I'm going to stand right alongside of you, and I'm going to pray with you that you will, as an act of your will, forgive and release that person that hurt you, that person that shredded you and put you away and put you out. I'm going to help you forgive. And you know, that's one of the kindest things we can do
is
bring
really
that dear person into accountability.
That's right. And we see an example here of God being the great shepherd. He wants all his sheep well and healthy and strong and celebrating his kingship. We're going to go into the New Testament here in this second half and find out a little bit more about false teachers, about false prophets.